Welcome back to the official companion podcast series to the Showmax original series, Catch Me a Killer. If you're coming across this companion podcast for the first time, this is the sixth installment and covers Catch Me a Killer, episode 7. If you haven't listened to the other companion podcasts, or heaven forbid, started watching the Showmax original Catch Me a Killer yet, you need to do that first and come back. If you're all caught up and ready to go, let's do it. Episode 7 of Catch Me a Killer focuses on perhaps one of the most notorious serial killers in South Africa as a result of the hideousness of his crimes. Stuart Wilkin has actually had quite a bit of coverage recently with another Showmax original, Booty Boud, covering his crimes and what is known of his life in detail. I've also covered Stuart Wilkin's crimes on the podcast in full. I'll link that in the show notes. And I will tell you that despite me having covered some pretty horrendous cases on the podcast, the one about Stuart Wilkin's victims is without fail the one that people point to as being the episode that disturbed them the most. In this companion podcast, I'm going to give you a summary of Stuart Wilkin's case, and then we're going to discuss an aspect of his crimes which makes him quite unique, and that is the fact that he killed his own biological child. This is incredibly rare for serial killers, and there are also some interesting psychological considerations around that too. Stuart Wilkin's childhood was extremely difficult and abusive. Abandoned by his biological parents, he and his sister were taken in by an abusive family where he suffered until he was nearly 3 years old. He was then adopted by the Wilkin family. Despite being in a better environment, Wilkin's childhood and teenage years were troubled, and he eventually left to live on his own. His romantic relationships were also problematic, and he often spoke ill of his ex-girlfriends and wives. Working on fishing boats, Wilkin began committing horrific crimes on land from about 1990. By his 1997 arrest, he admitted to killing 10 people and was later convicted of 7 murders. His victims varied in age, race, and profile, including adult female sex workers, homeless children, a friend's child, and his own biological daughter. Wilkin strangled and stabbed his victims. He also introduced cannibalism and necrophilia into his series. One of his most disturbing acts was the murder of his daughter, Wuan, whose decomposing body he kept in the rural shelter he'd built for himself. When he eventually pointed her out to police, she was completely skeletonized. Wilkin received 7 life sentences for his crimes. As I mentioned, besides the necrophilia and cannibalism and the diverse choice of victims, which are all aspects that make Wilkin quite unique as a serial killer, his own biological child being one of his victims is incredibly rare. In South Africa, 2 of our female serial killers, well, one convicted and one presumed, Rosemary Ndlovu and Daisy Demelka, were believed to have killed their children. So, to be precise, Daisy Demelka was convicted of killing her biological child, but she wasn't convicted of any other murders, although multiple other crimes, including more murders of her own children, were attributed to her. So technically, by today's definition, she's not a serial killer. Rosemary, on the other hand, was convicted of multiple murders, but not those of her 2 children, although there does seem to be significant evidence that she did kill them. And those are really the only 2 who we know of in South Africa where their children have been their victims. And then there is Stuart Wilkin, who definitely murdered his daughter and was definitely convicted of multiple murders, making him a serial killer. Even in other countries, though, this is incredibly rare. Although it's impossible to know about every single serial killer in every country across the world, the only one, or rather the only couple, that jumps to mind immediately is Fred and Rose West in the UK. Fred and Rose killed at minimum 12 people in the 60s, 70s and 80s. They committed most of the murders together, although Fred committed some of the earlier crimes alone, and Rose is believed to have killed Fred's stepdaughter Charmaine while he was in prison for a different crime. But again, that doesn't fit the bio-child criteria we're looking for. Charmaine was not biological to either Fred or Rose. Also in the UK, there's a female killer whose situation is almost identical to Daisy DeMalca. Mary Ann Cotton is believed to have killed 11 of her 13 children, as well as 3 of her 4 husbands, for insurance money in the late 1800s. She too was only convicted of one murder, though, and the murder she was convicted of was of her stepson. Again, not her biological child. Yet another female serial killer. Okay, there's a trend here. Belle Gunness of the US was confirmed to have killed 12 people, although it was suspected she killed as many as 40. Although most of her victims were men, there were 2 babies, allegedly born to Gunness, who died of what seemed to be poisoning. And then when it became clear that police were on her tail, Gunness's farmhouse burned down with her 3 children inside. Police also found the body of a decapitated female inside the farmhouse, which they'd assumed was Gunness, because in the 1800s they had no way to prove or disprove this. But the fact that she was decapitated led to many theories that Belle had actually killed her children and the female body was another victim. Gunness was never heard from again. Gunness, of course, was never convicted, so we can't legally call her a serial killer, and there's no concrete evidence she murdered her children either. So again, this is how rare Stuart's actions were. He claimed that he'd killed his daughter to save her from what he believed was sexual abuse from her stepfather. He claimed he'd become aware that Wuan was being sexually abused by his stepfather, and after he had abducted her from outside her mother's home, he had performed a virginity test of sorts, which the rest of us would fully understand is sexual assault in itself, and found that she was no longer a virgin. This, of course, is all absolute nonsense, but it's the story he told himself about why he then proceeded to murder his own daughter in order to, he claims, save her further abuse. Professor of psychology at DeSales University in Pennsylvania, Dr. Catherine Ramsland, writes that in her experience, serial killers interact with their children in one of 4 ways. They either care about them and protect them, as much as people with significant personality disorders can, I guess. Secondly, they may actually include them in their crimes. Thirdly, they may kill them. Or fourth, is that they may maintain the deception with their children so that they'll continue to manipulate and lie to them after their conviction and convince them that they're not guilty or their crimes were not their fault. For many of these individuals, it seems that their children are important to them, but not as important as their ability to continue committing their crimes. Gary Ridgway, dubbed the Green River Killer, admitted that his 7-year-old son had been with him when he committed 2 of his crimes. The boy, of course, had not understood what was happening, and although he had seen the woman picked up by Ridgway, he'd been left in the car while his father committed the actual murders outside of the vehicles. On one occasion, the child had gone looking for his father and almost stumbled upon the body of one of his victims. Ridgway later told a psychologist that if he hadn't caught his son in time and the child had seen something he shouldn't have, it was possible that he would have killed him to avoid getting caught. Stuart Wilkin doesn't really fit any of these other serial killer motivations around why they did or may have killed their children. In fact, he claimed to apply the same reasoning to killing his daughter that he did to his other child victims. Of the homeless children he'd murdered, he said he was also saving them from what he'd experienced. He said that the parents of the children deserved the pain he caused them because they hadn't taken care of their children. The irony of this claim is that he then ended up doing the worst thing a parent could do to his own child. Wilkin also had a clear hatred toward women, though. Specifically, the female partners he'd been in a relationship with. He regularly referred to his ex-wife, Wuan's mother, as a whore, and claimed he'd left her after she'd engaged in sex work. And it's very likely this that was the real reason he'd murdered his daughter. To punish his ex-wife in the worst way possible. Despite all of Wilkin's high and mighty claims about the savior and vigilante he claimed to be in murdering for good reasons only, his murders, including Wuan's, were really just the results of his own misguided anger and desire for retribution. And that is your companion podcast for Catch Me a Killer, Episode 7. I do hope that this has given you a deeper view into the killer Mickey Pistorius helped to capture in this episode, and I'll be back in the next episode to zoom in on yet another terrifying predator.